Welcome to the Geeks of the North podcast, a hobby and gaming podcast from Abed Provence. This week, Antoine and I talk about games we used to like, games we like now, and games we think we might like in the future. So sit back, relax, grab your paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Welcome to episode 3 of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filion, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron. Hey, Antoine, how's it going?
Well, really good, Paul. And you?
Oh, it's going great. Glad to finally be recording this episode. Yeah. We've had a bit of trouble trying to get together to do this.
Yes, we have. Yeah. It's going to be a bit late.
One or two days.
Yeah, one or two days.
So it's not so bad. Not so bad. That damn real life getting in the way.
Oh, yes.
It's too bad that we have to work and raise our families and do all these things.
Yeah, it's more work's fault this time than families. So
it's always something, though.
Yeah, there's always something. Like 30 hours of overtime this week.
That
gets in the way.
No, but it helps the pocketbook, though. So
Yeah. The vacation pay will be bigger.
There you go. So this episode, we've got a pretty good lineup for you. So lots of hobby talk, or at least for me. Poor Antoine's been doing overtime, but it's okay. I did enough hobby for both of us. Then we're going to go over some upcoming events. What's going on in the industry, a little bit of news. Again, it's not comprehensive news. It's kind of like our picks. Then we've got a fan mail question to answer.
Woohoo!
Yeah, fan mail. Look at that. All six of you. One of you sent in an email. Congratulations. And then we're going to do our main topic, which is what we play and why, where we're going to discuss the styles of games that we personally enjoy, because we're hoping you guys care what we think. And let's get this started. I guess we'll go right into hobby time. Antoine, I'll start with you.
That won't be long. So last time I mentioned I was working on Helga, on painting Helga the Conqueror, one of the new Pharaoh Warcaster for Pharaoh Warlock for Ords. From a privateer press, and I still worked a bit on that. In the last 3 weeks, I was able to put maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours on her. I'm doing that model with a high standard, so I'm putting a lot of time on her. But still, that 4 or 5 hour was all the hobby time I had in the last 3 weeks, except 15 minutes I put on gluing Slaughterhousers to their base, my second squad. Wow. That's my hobby time.
Wow. So that model's the one you're using the shaded base coat technique to try to...
Yes.
Well, not try to do, but that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I said Yom today. Yom, which was on the last podcast.
Yes.
And he was still... Because I showed him the progress since last recording. So all the progress in the last 3 weeks, which was maybe doing the airs or something like that. No, it's more than that, but still. And he was amazed that I was able to... I did all that with the sprayed air double-ended brush from Games and Gears. Oh. He was still amazed by that.
Well, as he said last time, right? It's a good thing he was sitting down already because he couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and the model is looking a lot better now. So, and I still use that brush 95% of the model.
We really got to get our Rosemary and Company order done.
I like the two-ended side of it. I find it useful because I do a lot of wet blending on it, or two-brush blending.
And well, the style of the brush is useful.
Yeah.
And
I like the... It's really a thick brush. I think it's maybe the 2 or the 3 I use.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That's generally what people use for wet blending, right?
Yeah, so... And it's pretty short, because I don't do detail, I don't do freehand or any stuff like that. It's all blending. So it works great. One of the end is really a lot more... It keeps its points more. So if I do have to do any detailing, I need to pay attention which side
you're using.
But when I'm just doing the blending for the colors, it's not that bad. So that's my hobby time. What have you been able to do? I knew that checking from the show notes in the last 2 weeks, there wasn't a lot, but I think you corrected that in the last week.
Yeah, well, I've been busy this week. So as I'll go over in a minute, I played some fantasy last week against Yom, and he whooped me. But that's okay. Revenge will be sweet this week when we play again. I felt kind of bad because his army is fully painted. He's got a nice, beautifully painted orc army. And my army was, half bare plastic, some primed guys, and a few painted units. And the units that are painted well, but I just felt kind of terrible playing a whole painted army with an army that wasn't even base coated. So I've been working like a madman on that. In the last few days, I've managed to basically all the base colors on 20 Khorne Warriors. I assembled 10 Chaos Hounds and got those all base coated. And I continued to work on my Dragon Ogres. So I had one that was had its dragon flesh done and part of its
Barney
man flesh. No, damn you! And part of his the man part base coated at least. So I'm trying to get the last three of that unit up to the same level. So at least they won't be bare unpainted plastic on the table. Yeah, so then that's basically been occupying all my spare hobby time in the last few weeks, which again, hasn't been much until the last 3 or 4 days. Before that, I just couldn't find the time to sit down and actually do anything. All kinds of stuff at work, and you know what that's like.
Yeah, I know.
But I did manage to get a couple games in the last few weeks. I don't know if you managed to play anything, but I
got... Yeah, I did. What I mentioned was only my painting stuff. I'll go for my games after.
Okay. So, yeah, like I said, I played Yom. We did a 2,500-point Warriors of Chaos versus Orcs and Goblins. And he played a very shooty list. So 2 Doom Divers, 2 Rock Lobbas, and my Chaos Warriors have no shooty. Which...
A bunch of magic, probably, too.
Yeah. He was foot of gorking and hand of gorking me all over the place. So he had 2 wizards. I think he had a level 2 and a level 4. And a war boss type beefy, choppy guy.
The Orcs needs it for the leadership anyways.
Yeah. I think we played all 6 turns. And at the end of the game, I had 1 unit of Nurgle Warriors left on the table with my BSB in it and my Sorcerer. And my Sorcerer challenged his Chaos Lord to a duel. He has an Orc Warlord.
Yeah.
And he accepted. I then was amazed to find out that my Sorcerer had a 1+, 4+.
And so, probably 3 or 4 attacks.
Yeah, 3 attacks with an Ogre Blade. So there was a lot of beating down on the Orcs going on. In the end, my 1 unit and 2 characters were like 1,000 points, like 1,050 points. And his half of his army that was left was like 1,250. So yeah, he won by like 200 or 250 points. So it was a minor victory on his part.
Oh, which is good. In the old sliding victory scale, it would have been a null.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't lose by much, but it looked like I'd lost by a ton because looking at the table,
had nothing left.
On turn 1, he obliterated a unit of knights that was worth 500 points or 600 points.
Ouch.
Like, because he got to go first. Before they even moved, he blew them off the table. Unit of 6 knights.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. And that's kind of just how it went over and over again. And then a few days after that, I played our friend Chris. He was playing his vampire counts. And we played 2,000 points, and it was blood and glory game. I managed to win that in 4 turns.
Yeah, because that's the only scenario that has an exact cutoff. It's not to the end, and then you count points.
Well, it's the one that it's fortitude, right?
Yeah, so if you pass that, the game ends. Yeah.
So he only had 4 fortitude to start. I had 5, so not much better, but.
At 2,000, the cutoff is probably 3 or 2.
Well, it depends on how many units you have.
No, it's by the points.
No, it's banners and your lord's worth 2.
That's your fortitude. Yeah. But you lose when you go under a fixed amount depending on the game size.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably 2. That's 2 at 2,000? Okay.
Yeah, so when he hit 2, you're done.
You're done, yeah.
Yeah. His guys that had banners, because, again, it was a random scenario, and he hadn't really planned for it. So his banners, he had 1 banner and a unit of skeletons. The other banner, I don't remember where it was, but it was in something else equally kind of squishy.
Probably not big units, knowing Chris.
Oh, that's right. It was a small unit of Graveguard.
Oh.
Because he wanted to try them out, and he didn't have enough to field the big unit, so he fielded like a small block of 15 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 Graveguard versus a unit of Skullcrushers, 4 Skullcrushers. Yeah, it didn't last long.
No, I don't think so.
Though he had some fun running around with hex wraiths, because he's playing around the whole when they move through units they take wounds.
Yes.
So he managed to again, kill those same knights that Yom had bombarded off the table. He managed to kill them by running through them with Hex Wraith.
But at least you were able to move that time.
Yeah, I killed one of his units of Hex Wraith. He had two units. I killed one with those knights, and the next unit ran through them.
Oh, did you? Oh, you have ensorcelled
weapons. Ensorcelled weapons, yeah.
Yeah, I played against them at Fantasy Fest last year, and I had no way to do anything to them. So they were just running around, killing all my backfield.
Yeah, so the first unit got killed because of the knights. The second unit was making a beeline for my my mage bunker. So I dropped a big template purple sun and sent that through. So he actually had a couple survive, but yeah, did some damage.
Yeah, there's some cleaning.
Oh, and I irresistible forced when I did that and nuked a big chunk of my unit.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. That's always
fun. That's the way it works. So yeah, I had a win and a loss in my gaming last couple weeks. So you, what did you play?
Yeah, just after the last recording, I wasn't in my big overtime period yet, so I was able to get two games of War Machine in. I started on a local forum where I've been looking for people living in Repentigny, where I moved this summer. So, and I've been able to find a bunch of players that live in that area. And it's far easier for us, if we want to play at night, to play there at each other's place, then go back in Montreal for the to play in one of the store, because we save 30-40 minutes of driving.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was one of those guys I met for the first time. We played a game. He was playing Krix with Denigra, Prime Denigra. I don't remember her full title. And I was playing my Pharos. Warwitch Denigra. And yeah. The other is... something else.
Wraith Witch?
It doesn't really matter. So Prime Denigra, and I was still playing my Pharos with Lord Carver. It was...
Prime Denigra is tough, though.
Yeah.
She's got some really good magic. It's...
Yeah, and yeah, a bunch of ethereal stuff, like the game I had in the previous episode. And the Pharos have it tough with Krix. The Pharos are not that great of an army. They don't have a bunch of choice, but at least if they're facing stuff that's not ethereal, they have a chance. But with all the ethereal stuff, all the shooting at distance, and all the debuffing they do, it's a tough matchup for Pharos. At least Gators have more way to deal than that, but I don't have enough Gators, and I don't have the right Gators to do that either if I switch to in a two-list environment.
It sounds like you're making a lot of excuses right now. I'm just pointing that out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was close. He was leading in victory points, in scenario points, but I was able to go for a run with my caster. He underestimated the reach he can get. The Carver can run up to 11 inches, charge 11 inches. He has two inches of reach. And he was able to charge over a wall with... he has a spell... which is mobility. It gives him 2 more inches of movement and ignore walls.
Terrain and stuff. Yeah.
So gives him a pathfinder. So I was with the other piece I had, he was thinking I was blocked, but I was able to clean stuff and make Carver reach Denigra. Didn't kill her. I did maybe, I think... 40 points of damage on a 16 points.
Yeah, wow, that's caster. A lot of damage, though. And she's hard to hit, because her defense is
yeah, that's
high.
Why I missed my second attack, which would have killed her.
Her defense is like 16 or something?
Yeah, 16. So, but I was in base contact with her. And next turn, he was looking at his option, and he didn't really have anything that could reach Carver to kill me. So we went for a scenario, and I totally forgot that I had Quagmire on, which I cast to... on Carver, which gives a malus to defense malus to everyone that's in base-to-base contact with him. But it also prevents them from moving, which I totally forgot, and you just move Denigra away, cast a spell on her to give her Ghost Walk, so okay. She's able to ignore Free Strike,
mm-hmm.
and went to an objective and contest, scored, dominate the objective with her. For 2 right. points, which gave him the game. But
technically, Ghostwall, that shouldn't happen because...
Yeah, he was able to have no free strike, but he wasn't able to move away, and I totally forgot that. And if it wasn't for that, I think he was able to maybe bring one or two models to Carver, but not enough to kill him. And the turn after that, I would have been able to cut myself for the fury I needed and exterminate her. But I forgot. So it was a close game, at least.
Well, that happens a lot to you. You forget these little things.
Yeah, I don't play them enough. But that's far-fetched. Your caster is not usually the guy who has Quagmire on. It's usually one of your unit.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. And I just forget it. It's fine. It was late also, so the game was running long. And I wanted it to get back to bed. And the other game was against Pete on the forums, which is Pierre-Paul. Was playing his circle with Epic Kruger, the Storm Lord, I think. And yeah. I was playing Midas. So that game went far better for me. Midas is a caster that loves beast and loves to kill beast. And it was the first time since I've painted him that was able to play against Horde's army instead of War Machine. So he was at his max blood token of the old game, was able to use his spell and all the special effect. And the game was a grind. It went to the end. He was trying to contest with one of his... he was dominating with his warlock on the far objective, and one of his beasts was in the way. And I was able to kill the beast with my caster and have an opening and shoot his warlock to death. So, win by warlock kill.
Woo!
And that's my two game. Speaking of games, I also installed Star Realms on my... on my phone. Star Realms is a deck building space combat game. It's a real game, but they have an app version for it, and it's pretty recent. And I've heard great things about it in other podcasts and in reviews, and I wanted to try it. And that have hugged all my bathroom and transportation time in the last week.
Okay, that's an image I didn't need to have. just throw it out there.
Yeah,
I suppose it's better than other things you could be doing in the bathroom.
Well, it's better than Candy Crush and all.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And that's it for my game.
Okay, and I see we got a little note in here for hobby time. Not strictly hobby, but geek associated.
Yeah, all so, geek stuff too.
So yeah, it says here you watched Captain Harlock.
Yeah, the new version, the new 3 animated version. And
right, I think it came out a couple years ago in Japan. It's on Netflix here.
2012,
right.
Or 13, something like that, early 13.
And Harlock, better known here in Quebec as Albatar.
Oui, Captain Albatar.
Yeah. And I also actually checked that out by coincidence.
Oh.
What did you think?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I haven't watched a lot of the previous stuff. I remember it from when I was young. But I didn't watch a lot of TV when I was younger, or especially in my pre-teenage, which was probably the time which is was yeah, still that on TV.
That would have aired. I mean, it aired when I was little.
Yeah.
And even then, I think it was kind of near the end of its run.
Yeah, but we had rerun in French and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I catched some of it, and I liked the concept, but I wasn't a big TV listener.
Right.
So I just remember the concept. So I have good memories of the show, but... not exact memories. I didn't watch all the series. I didn't watch any of the OVAs or anything. So it was almost a clean slate for me. So I liked it. What did you think? I think you have better memories and you watch more than me. So,
well, I didn't. I'll be honest. I didn't watch Albatar when I was a kid. I watched Goldarak, but Albatar was too boring. There wasn't giant robots, and it didn't interest me that much. So I didn't have a kind of fond memory from my youth to associate to it. But so I checked it out, which gave me kind of an unbiased, clean slate to view it. I thought it was good. It tried to go, it made me think a lot of, I don't know if you ever saw Final Fantasy Advent Children, which is based off the Final Fantasy VII characters, kind of takes place after the video game.
It's another 3D movie.
It's another 3D animation.
The first one? Isn't there two?
I think there is a second one. I haven't seen it, but
yeah, I saw the first one, but so, I have no memory.
Just like, Harlock made me think of that in the sense that it tries to go for the big, like, philosophical, what is man, what's, you know.
Yeah.
it tried the deep thought route, which a lot of anime and Japanese productions do. So I found that kind of a reach and a little like, okay, here we go again. But overall, I thought the movie was enjoyable. Animation was fantastic.
Yeah.
Storyline was a little convoluted.
Yes.
But, you know, it's ultimately, I think it's still followable. Yeah, like, it's not, you know, Evangelion convoluted weirdness going on. It's just, you're like, okay, I don't know.
So,
you know, you get to a point where you're like,
the main space pirates is, oh, I'm with you. Oh, I go back. Oh, I'm with you. Is Brother to do the same? Oh, I'm with you. Oh, I go back. Oh, I save you by the end. And what?
And then you find out, like, at one point you're like, oh, Harlock's trying to destroy the universe because he figures it can't get worse, so he might as well destroy it and restart, right? So you're like, I don't what? Anyway. But on the whole, I think it's worth the 2-hour time investment to watch it.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. But I don't really watch TV. I don't really watch movies, or almost none. The bigger part of my TV time is sleeping next to my kid who's watching morning cartoon or right. stuff like that. So it was better than anything else I had seen in weeks. Anyway, so
okay, so we'll call that an endorsement, and yes. We'll say that we both liked it. Okay. So, yeah, it's the end of our hobby time segment. Why don't we take a little break, and we'll come back, talk about some upcoming events, and then go over the news, and maybe hit up our fan mail. Be back in a minute, geeks. And we're back. Okay, so upcoming events. Antoine, why don't you start?
Okay, first one coming on September 27th and 28th is Games Summit 2014, which you already have heard us talk about. So it's a 2-day convention in Gatineau. There is board gaming, role-playing games, miniatures games, miniature workshop for painting and stuff. They have a bunch of tournaments, War Machine, Hordes, Icommon, Flames of War, 40k, Fantasy, everything, all the whole gamut. So you can find more info at gamesummit.ca.
Okay, then we have Coupe des Quatre Nations. That's on October 4th and 5th. It's a 2-day Blood Bowl tournament at Le Chevalier in Repentigny. This event is affiliated to the TANAF. It's 5 games, and there's food provided on both days, included in the price. The link is kind of long and convoluted, so we'll just put it in our show notes, and you can find out more information there.
Next event is Chaos League 2014, which we run with Club Chaos and Norton Defender. It's on October 11th and October 12th. You have tournaments for War Machine, 40k, Fantasy, and Infinity. So you can find more information about that at chaosleague.net.
Okay, next up we have Carnage Con. Carnage Con is a 3-day event in Vermont over the weekend of November 8th. Now, we don't have a lot of details on this yet because the website's still not updated, but you can find out information when it does get posted at www.carnagecon.com. The only event we do know about for sure is that there's a 24-seat Warhammer Fantasy 2500-point tournament.
On Saturday, November 8th.
On Saturday the 8th. There we go. And you can find out more information, like I said, on their website or at facebook.com/carnagecon.
Next up, we now have a date for the Fantasy Fest. That's Woohoo! The only info we have. It's on November 29th in Montreal. We'll have more info about that in upcoming episodes, as we'll have an interview with Etienne and Alex, the two organizers of that event.
Right, and that's a friendly team tournament for Warhammer Fantasy.
Yes.
That was my trial by fire last year.
Yeah. Go, Paul, paint.
Yes, I'm painting like a madman for it. And last but not least, we have the Meg Maples Masterclass that we've spoken about before. That's on December 6th and 7th at Gamers Vault on Queen Mary across from Snowden Metro. Sign-up fee is $205 US, payable by PayPal to Meg Maples. You can find out more information about this event on the Arcane Paintworks Facebook or the event page, which you can find linked from our Facebook page.
And our website, too.
Yeah.
And you need to register for the event to happen.
Yes, that's
true.
There's
a minimum registration, so go and sign up if you are interested in it.
Yeah, don't waste time, because it's the last time she's going to be able to come to Canada, because she's moving to Australia in December. And if we don't get enough sign-ups soon, then she's not going to book a flight, and it's just not going to happen. And that would make Paul very sad, because I've already paid.
Yes.
All right. And that's about it for the upcoming events. On to news. So I guess we'll just go over what our picks are. So my first pick for news this week is Space Hulk. Now, not very much in the way of news now, since everyone already knows it launched yesterday. But this is the re-release of the board game that was released 5 years ago with a few updates. So you have boarding torpedoes, a couple new tiles, some tokens, and some new missions. So fun stuff. Always a blast, Space Hulk.
And for dudes living in a cave, that's by Game Workshop.
Yeah, that's true. I should have mentioned that. It's a Space Marine versus Tyranid adventure game where the Space Marines have very little chance to survive.
That's good. My first pick for this show is Yashima, Legend of the Kami Masters. That's a Kickstarter running right now and going up to October 14th. That's a 2-plus-player miniature combat game. It's like an arena combat. You have one miniature, and it plays with cards, and it's all on hexagonal tiles.
Okay.
And you have cards to do your attacks, and on each card, there's a schema of where you're attacking, so you have multiple point of impact or stuff like that. And your style is mixed between your character, which might be a druid, and which is mixed with you pick a kami at the start of the game too, and the kami, let's say, is a dragon, and you have a deck of card for your druid, a deck of card for your kami, which let's say in that case is a dragon. You mix them up, and during the game you draw your attack style, so the facing is important, the distance, the movement, and everything, and it changes every time. So it looks interesting. I downloaded the rules, but I haven't looked through them yet. The Kickstarter was asking for 15,000, and it's already past that at over 60. So it's happening. It's only
it's all a matter of time now.
A matter of time. And I think it's looking interesting. It's only one or more. I think maybe other miniature might be unlocked with the stretch gold. But it looks fun, and painting one miniature is not hard, so why not?
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like my style of game. So what else was new? Oh, Mantic goes digital. So Mantic's now made all their books available for digital download. So it's not just GW anymore. The only difference being Mantic made it affordable. GW, well... I have to say GW's digital content, if you're on the Apple platform, is excellent.
Yeah, but costly.
It's costly, but the fact that they actually update those is, GW doesn't make facts anymore, right? The FAQs are never updated. But
which is a problem, because if you have the paper book, there's no facts, so you don't have the same rules as the guy with the iPad.
Right. Yeah. So,
which
I realize there's a problem with it, but at least the iPad one is updated. So their digital books, also the way they internally link, so if you click on a profile for a weapon or something, it takes you that weapon's right up right away without having to start flipping through pages.
I think the format is really good, but it's just the
anyway.
What goes around.
Yeah, so that's GW. Back to Mantic. So yeah, Mantic made everything available. I don't know much about it. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a smart book format. I think it's just like an ebook. But still, I think it's a step in the right direction, since everyone's got tablets or giant phablets now.
What?
Phone tablets. Big phones like the Galaxy Note or the iPhone 6 Plus called the phablet.
Okay. I didn't know that portmanteau.
Sorry about that. And I think I'll mention another one here. So previously we talked about the new Happy Seppuku Kickstarter for the molds.
Yes. I've used dues, and you have some too.
Well, we talked about the new molds are doing, like the double-sided molds that you baked in the oven with the clay and stuff. So that actually funded. So that's now shipping. Or that will ship, I should say.
That will ship.
Yeah, that will ship. If only Kickstarters were that fast. Yeah, so that funded. So that's good news for them. Happy Spook will make some good stuff. So always nice to see them succeed. Let's see. What do we got here?
I'll go for one.
Yeah, sure.
Tor Gaming have released previews of their Riddance, which are their new faction. They're still working on them. But they have released sketches for three new models, which are their Battle Dragon. It's kind of a giant bird that they use as mounts, like elephant in ancient histories, with audas and different way of using them. Like one have a siege tower with a catapult on it. Another one has a bunch of the riddens with pointy giant pikes to attack people around. So the sketches are fantastic. I really like the style. All the riddens look like the goblins from Labyrinth.
I'm looking at one of these sketches now. It looks like a goblin in a watchtower strapped to the back of a chocobo who's got like four arms with wings attached.
It's really...
It's so Tor Gaming.
Yeah. The old faction is inspired by Pross, which is an artist who do stuff, I think, inspired the Labyrinth, all the Labyrinth look. But for the Ridden, they go with more of a medieval cleaner look, less patch up, with the real armors and stuff like that, but on ridiculed creatures. So I love those. They're an instant boy for me when they're available.
Well, like everything relics, so it's a...
No, I only have two of the four faction.
That's true.
Which is good.
But you would own more.
If I could, yeah.
Yeah.
If there were people playing the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Ample.
Yeah, I know. I'll get there.
So, what's your next pick?
You derailed me with your poking fun at me. Cool. Planetfall.
Battle Dragons.
Yeah. So, Planetfall from Spartan Games is finally launched. So
yeah, you stole that one from me. I wanted to put it there, and I saw you already.
Well, we can both talk about it.
Oh, no, that's fine. It's yours.
No, we can share. I'm a big boy. I can share. I know how to share my toys. So yeah, Planetfall. So mass combat, small scale, set in the Firestorm Armada universe. We've been waiting for this for a couple of years now, because it was available, but only through... Sparta
Studio.
It's like a mail order direct thing.
Yeah, a small side company.
Yeah, so now it's going to be widely distributed.
Yeah, and they launched with the six faction instead of just the two.
They have some two-player starter, I think, too, as well. Right? So, that looks really cool. The sculpts are really, really neat. And the good thing about Spartan Games is that it tends to be pretty affordable to play their games.
Yes, it is.
It's resin, so yes, it's expensive-ish, but you get a ton of models from those starter boxes. You know, if you look at any of their other ones... Dystopian Wars or Firestorm Armada. If you look at the size of the ships in Firestorm Armada, right? The big capital ships are huge. Those starter boxes are steel.
They don't cost that much. At least at release, they were good. My only bug with that game is it's going to be a 10mm game, like the other one we spoke, Dreadzone Commander.
Yeah.
Which I wanted to start Dreadzone Commander with the Resistance coming out. I don't see myself paying 10mm sci-fi game, land battle sci-fi game. So
for sure,
which one? You already have Dreadzone Commander,
and so do a bunch of other people that we know. So
yeah, that's why I think I'll probably skip on Planetfall. They have more faction. They have more coming out, but we already play how many of their rule sets, which are all about the same. So it might be.
And I mean, it makes sense that...
More interesting to go for Dropzone Commander.
That Dropzone is similar, right? Because Dropzone, David used to work for Spartan.
Yeah, true.
Right, so... And in fact, they announced Planetfall not long after he came out with Dropzone Commander.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that was kind of a response to him coming out with that game.
Yeah. Still, the Planetfall stuff looks really good. And if you're not already invested or in Dropzone Commander, I would say go take a look.
Well, even though I'm invested, I mean, I'd still pick up a starter to try it. The exploding dice system's fun. And
you pick your ring, so.
Not everything.
No, that's true.
Just almost everything.
Almost.
And let's see what else we got here.
I'll go for another one. Cool Meat or Not launched a new Kickstarter. We're surprised there.
Yeah, I know. It's shocking.
Yeah, shocking.
Wow.
With MicroArt Studio to release bass inserts for 30mm round lip bass. All size round lip basses. But with the existing MicroArt Studio lines.
Okay.
And they will be plastic. And just the inserts, not the full bass, instead of doing the resin cast complete bass. And they're pretty affordable in what they have previewed yet. And the stretch goals are all adding new basses or new lines. So it can be interesting. It's a short Kickstarter. It's only 15 days, I think. So when you're that go fast, there's probably less than 2 weeks up when the episode will drop. So but I think in a week you'll be able to have a good idea what's gonna be in it and if it's worth it or not.
Didn't Cool Mini already have a line of bass inserts that they sold?
They have bass inserts for their Dark Age line, but it's a really limited set. They don't have lots of choice, even of variety. Like I have the Forest one, and there's three different Forest 30mm bass inserts. The MicroArt Studio, they already have full lines, so they have 10 different 30mm, 5 different 40mm, so there's a lot more choice.
A lot more variety in the bass inserts. Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
And the Dark Age ones are more elaborate, so they're more for show than large squads, I think. Right.
Okay.
But it's interesting. You'll have a link to it in the show notes, or if you just search for Cool Mini or Not on Kickstarter, you'll be able to find it.
Okay. And last on our list, we've got my pick, which is that Secret Weapon Tablescapes closed their backer kit, finally. So they're not taking any new orders or anything, and they have ETAs for the ships to actually land in the U.S. with the goods.
Wow, finally.
Well, they're running behind, I think.
But it's not worse than a bunch of other Kickstarters.
No. I mean, it's not running behind like Relic Knights ran behind, right? So
yeah.
We're not a year late or anything. But it's still exciting. You know, I'm looking forward to getting that table. I ordered a 4x8 swamp table.
Oh, the swamp one? I haven't seen the previews of that one.
Yeah, it looked pretty good, so I picked that up. Because I figured it'd be good for, you know, fantasy.
And I had a last one I wanted to mention. It's going to be too late when the show lands, but I just wanted to congratulate Stonehaven Miniatures on their Half Orcs Kickstarter, which ended yesterday. And they ended over their stretch goal by a lot. So, and they have really nice minis. I didn't get into it because of the shipping cost. But next year at Gen Con, if they have it there, I'll buy a bunch of dues.
Yeah.
Like they have the small Tengu sorcerer, which the sketch looked interesting. I can't wait to see what the sculpt will be like. Yeah,
they have fantastic sculpt, folks. We can't say that enough. We bought a bunch of their miniatures at Gen Con this year. And they're small, they're affordable. They're
full of characters.
Full of character, and they're so well sculpted. Talk about a great value. I don't know what we'll use them for, but we'll find something for them.
Oh, I already have a painting competition plan with some of these.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Piece. Well, my undead dwarf, I already have a nice set I want to put him on for next year. So,
all right. So,
and that's it for news, I think.
Yeah, I think that's it for the news and upcoming stuff. I guess we'll go to our fan mail.
Yeah, ooh, yeah, we're first popular. One.
We got, and we say it's mail, but it wasn't really mail. It was a message on Facebook. Message, or whatever. A
public message, even.
And then I told the guy I'd only answer him on the show. So.
We're saying it's fan mail.
Yeah, we'll call it whatever we want to call it. It's our show, damn it. But if you do have questions or would like to leave us a fan mail, you can contact us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com or on Facebook or via Twitter.
And we take eight mail too, not just fan mail.
That's right. We'll take any mail at this point, really. Yeah. Females too. So our message came. I know that was terrible. I know. So our message came from Mike, and he had some questions about airbrushing. I want to know if you could airbrush in an apartment.
Can you?
Yes, you can. So his major concern was noise, but there are a few other considerations you have to.
Yeah, like dying from a lung filled with toxins and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. Minor things. So I'm just going to address the noise first. That was his main concern. So, Mike, what you need to look for is an oilless compressor. So these are small, generally considered airbrush compressors. They make practically no noise. They require no maintenance, so you don't have to worry about, you know, making sure the oil level is good. These are not like shop compressors. You can run an airbrush with a shop compressor. You get a water trap on it, and it'll work just fine. But that will be way too noisy in an apartment building. The little electric compressors, you can get them off Amazon for dirt cheap. They're import from China, so the build quality is not super fantastic. But they'll cost you less than $100. If you get a good one, you go for a Grex or a Badger or whatever, you're going to pay anywhere between about $130 up to $300 or $400. I really don't... I mean, you can go to Michael's and buy the Badger or whatever. I really don't advise it, though, because unless you got a 50% off coupon, because the pricing at retail on these things is exorbitant.
And the price you're giving are also the American price, if I remember correctly, because buying the same thing... Yeah. From Canada, instead of getting from the States and importing it, is a lot crazier.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's just probably just over 100 if you catch it on sale on Amazon. If you have it shipped to Canada, probably just over 100. And if you can't get it shipped to Canada, because sometimes Amazon won't ship cross border from Amazon.com.
Yeah, depending on what.
What you can do, yeah, exactly. What you can do is what we did, which we use a little freight forwarder. Now we're based in Quebec and Montreal, obviously. So your mileage may vary on this, but you can go to Freeport Forwarding, which is what we use, and that's just in Champlain. Champlain, New York, just across the local border, about 45 minutes an hour from Montreal. And it's free. They'll charge you for the compressor. It's a small box. They'll charge you $5 for getting it for you. And basically, you have Amazon.com ship it to there, and you go pick it up there. And they'll hold the package to you. So they're open Monday to Friday. It's a great little business around there. Anyway, so you really want... You really want one of these oilless compressors because the noise level, it will surprise you how quiet it is. I know Yom, when he got his, he couldn't believe how quiet it was because he was worried about using it in the house with the kids sleeping.
Yeah, because his painting room is right under his daughter's room.
Yeah, and they couldn't get over how quiet it was. Wife approved, so what more can you say? But the other concern is when you're airbrushing in the house... Most people, when they're starting out especially, they tend to thin the paints a little too much, the air pressure is a little too high, and you end up with this cloud of particulate floating in the air.
Oh, yeah.
So that's bad. Your airbrush should not be doing that. That means something is set up wrong. Either you get too much air, your paint's too thin, or something's not adjusted right. But that being said, you will do it when you start out. So really spend the $25, get a good respirator mask. Don't cheap out and use those little... you know, the ones you get, like, the bulk packs for, like,
oh, yeah.
10 for a dollar or whatever.
Yeah, for just the painters.
Yeah.
No, don't use those. It doesn't work.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, but...
But it's not ideal. Spend the $25. Get
25, 30 bucks, you know, dying, at a hardware store. Get a full mask.
Dying from lung cancer is not pretty. Yeah. Try to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, just doing an evening of painting without those. At first, I didn't have a mask at first. And you just blow your nose and the paper is blue. You painted blue that evening, it's going to be your paper after blowing it. So don't do that. Because if it's in your nose, it's in your mouth, it's in your throat.
Yeah, and these things are non-toxic. Inside.
But non-toxic is pile up.
Yeah, non-toxic is the thing about, you know, if you ingest it, it's not about you inhaling it.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, it's absolutely possible. We'll post a little link to the compressors we bought. I have a couple different compressors. I have the cheap Chinese one. I have a Badger one. The Badger one's definitely better build quality. The Chinese one I actually broke and had to repair because I knocked it over once. I literally just knocked it over. And it snapped the fittings because the fittings on the cheap one are white metal, painted brass color. Or like plated brass color. The actual brass fittings. So they're very, very brittle. The compressor looks like my Badger one, but performance is not the same.
It's the cheap one I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had no problem with mine yet.
And I had no problem with it either until I knocked it over that one time and the fitting broke.
Yeah, the giant brute you are.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I'm a lummox. And the other thing is that when you invest in the compressor, make sure you get one with a tank. The tank will reduce...
Oh, yeah, sure.
It'll reduce the amount of time the motor's running, so your compressor will last longer because it won't get as hot. You'll get less pulsation, No pulsation in the airflow for the painting, so that'll help a lot too. And you know, it'll make the experience better. And there's no point in buying cheap and then upgrading later on. For the price difference, especially if you're buying a low-end compressor, you're better to spend the $10 now or $15 now.
Yeah, buy less cheap. Yeah. Not high-end, just less cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that pretty much handles that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mike, if you have any other questions about air brushing, feel free to ask us, and we'll be glad to answer if we can. And same goes for everyone else out there. If you have any questions, feel free to drop us a line.
And not just about airbrushing, anything.
Yeah, yeah. We may be able to answer something else, too. Who knows? So I think that covers it for now. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about our main topic, what we play and why. Be right back. Now on to the main topic, what we play and why. And I have to wonder, Antoine, what, because you picked this topic for the show.
I did, yeah.
So what led you to this topic?
I think it's going to be, it could be interesting for the listeners to know what kind of game we like and why we like those games. Well, what genre, what style, and what exact game also we played before, we're playing now, what we're looking forward to. And all that is only miniature game we're talking about now. We play board games on the side, RPGs maybe once every decades, but right now we're talking miniature games. So that's what I was envisioning.
Okay, so why don't you get the ball rolling then?
Okay.
And then tell us a bit about what you play and why.
Okay, I'll start with the style of game I like the most, or I look for the most forward to when I look at new games. The style I play the most is low-con skirmish at 28 to 35 millimeter scale of size scale. I like that style of game because of the playability. Usually they're quicker game, you don't need to have a lot. It's easy to paint a full squad, and myself being a pretty slow painter, it's a good thing when you have 6 to 10 models to paint instead of 2,000 points of Skaven for fantasy or stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
So I like that style a lot. Another style I like, I don't play that a lot because there's almost no other player around or in my circle at least. But it's a tiny scale mass combat, like 6 to 10 millimeters, Ancient or Fantasy stuff like Warmaster or Warmaster Ancients, or most of the Ancient games are played between 6 and 15 millimeters. So I like the look of that on the table, the look of a full army with thousands of buddies, but that represent maybe 4 or 5 units because they're all crammed into tiny trays, and the look of the massive armies fighting each other like you see in movies or in history books. I really like that. And the other, and I like the possibilities of not just the game, the playing piece, but the tables. You don't have the same scale to work with when you do terrain, and you can do really different looking tables for the those games. You can do, like, hills really matter when you play at that size, but when you play in 28 millimeters, most of the time a hill can't even really be represented on the table. We play with dudes for Fantasy, there are rules, but you go for other games like Relics by Tor Gaming, and they don't have rules for hills because with the degrees the slopes have, it shouldn't be able to be represented on the size we play on tables. Right. So I like that you can really have dudes on that 6 to 10 millimeter scale, and the terrains look different and have a really cool look. And the last style I'll mention is fleet games, all kind of fleet games, like Uncharted Seas and stuff. So boat games, like people play, like people say. So Uncharted Seas, what's the old fantasy one?
Manowar?
Manowar by Game Workshop. I still have the two first box for it. I only have the plastic ships, none of the blister, but that game was crazy fun. all kind of randomness, and I need to pick Dreadfleet. I heard good and really bad thing about the rules, but still I like ship models.
Well, Dreadfleet was the limited release a few years back, right? Which is essentially a spiritual successor to Manowar.
Yeah, but it was a limited release, but bunch of stores still have it somewhere available because it didn't do well at all at release. Mostly because of the terrible reviews it had. But the models are great, and the stuff looks good. I haven't tried the game yet, but just painting the 10, 12 ships there in it, they look fantastic. So they would be a blast to paint and just have for a small display. And even if the game is poor, I'm sure it can be wacky fun with friends in the,
yeah, exactly,
with the right mind.
Even bad games can be good if they're played with the right people, right?
Yeah. And I mentioned fleet games, but I'm more of a fantasy or ancient battle guy. So there's a bunch of sci-fi fleet action game, and I'm not really on that side. I'll speak about that more in the genre section we have further, but it's mostly fantasy games I'm thinking about. Or like aerial space fighters game, like World War One and World War II.
Dogfighting games.
Yeah, dogfighting games. Just World War II is already too techno for me. I don't like the look of Deuce. I don't like the feeling of...
So you're about the biplanes.
Yeah, the biplanes. I like the use of the look of Deuce. So that's my kind of game.
Okay.
What style of game do you like, Paul?
Oh, God.
And I play a bunch of other stuff, but Deuce are the main ones for me.
Yeah, so my preferred scale is 28mm, and I'm really about lots of models on the table. For the same reason that you like small-scale games, like that 6mm, 10mm War Master-style stuff, I like the same thing, but 28mm, or 30mm, like... I don't know.
A 10 by 20 feet boards to play Apocalypse games or 40K and stuff like that.
You know, I could field in 40K probably 20,000 points of mostly infantry. Like infantry and tanks. That's not even counting super heavies.
Yeah.
You know, was it last year they did an event at Gamers Vault? They did an Apocalypse game, and they didn't set point limits. They said, show up with whatever you want to show up with. So I showed up with, 14,000 points of stuff. And I just had cases and cases and cases of miniatures, and I kept bringing, you just bring on your extras as reinforcements. So I kept deploying, every turn, an extra, 4,000 points.
And you probably didn't bring everything you had access to.
I didn't have enough cases. But it was fun. You know, I think I left my Tau at home, and I just tried bringing Imperium stuff.
Yeah.
So I brought Sisters.
It fitted
And I didn't bring Grey Knights, so I had Sisters, Ultramarines, and Imperial Guard, I think is all I brought. And, like I said, I filled the table full of stuff.
Any other style you like?
I also like the small scale, think Dystopian Wars style, lots of stuff. Like, what's the... What is the game that they launched that we were going to play and we never got around doing it? The Dystopian Wars, but it was all...
Oh, the...
Land ship...
The Clash rules?
Yeah, exactly.
For Dystopian War. So yeah. All the land battle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, large scale, tons of tanks and stuff running around.
We still both have those models. So
we totally could play.
We just don't have enough painted and... you still are... You already have a bunch painted... But
yeah.
I have enough, I think, for Clash.
I was missing one of the big land ships. Because I had a Dreadnought, and I had one big land ship painted, but I needed a second one. So last year at Gen Con, I picked up another starter for the Russians for $5 at the War Store discount bin. So I now definitely have enough for Clash.
Okay, I know I was missing a special... A special model that wasn't available regularly needed to be special ordered from Spartan because it wasn't a model that's used like a common model.
Okay.
That's used only for Clash and not for the regular Dystopian War. It's a variant of a common tank or something like that. Or it was at least when they released the Clash rule, and I had none of dues. So okay. I think I'm only missing that to be able to really have a playable force. Maybe a small one, but at least a playable one. And I have a bunch of the new Canadians ally for the Britain and Britain that I have that could fill up the rest of the point to be a playable force at least. And I bought a bunch of terrains too because they were on sale at one of the local stores, Gamers Vault. And I bought airfields and emplacement and fortification and everything I could. You know well, what? You bought them for me, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just thinking. And I think I even have more models for that game. Because they launched the... what are the allies for them? The Polish-Lithuanian
yes,
Commonwealth?
Yes, you bought some of those too.
And I bought everything for that too. So I don't know if I painted those or if they're sitting in blisters somewhere.
I know I have a whole box of Spartan unopened starter yeah. box and blister, so I'm sure you have even more than me.
Oh, I don't know about that, but yeah, I thought I painted them, but maybe I didn't, or maybe I started painting them. Like I said, I want to go on a treasure hunt afterwards and find out, because yeah, I'd love to play that.
Yeah,
and I also have a bunch of terrain. I have, what is the name of the company? J&R, I think it was J&R was the name of the company that made resin cast terrain. They're no longer in operation. Anyway, and they made a set of resin islands for Uncharted Seas and stuff.
Isn't that Amera plastic stuff?
No, this is not plastic. This is resin. I think it was J&R.
Okay.
It's the same people that did, they used to do rivers and stuff. And they did my, if you ever seen my little medieval buildings? Not medieval, Middle Eastern buildings?
Yes.
Like the little mosques and stuff. That was all done by them too.
Okay.
Yeah, they did these, a different set of islands. But the thing is, if you paint them up and just put them on a table, mm-hmm. they look like mountains.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're in the right scale. So, we can make some pretty cool tables, I'm sure, if we combine our stuff.
I haven't, but there's a British company that did building at the right scale for land battle. So, I have 3 or 4 packs of these tiny churches and tiny houses. And I even bought some... not public, but general public boats, so really tiny boats to do on marinas and stuff like that.
So maybe we should make a little project for ourselves that we're going to play Armor Clash, or we're going to have full painted forces.
Yeah, and a full mudded table. We have enough for that.
I think this is going to have to happen now.
So absolutely.
We'll talk about it. We'll set a date, and we'll try to get our stuff ready for that.
And I don't know if you have it. I have some of the naval stuff to go with it, and the aerial stuff. So even if we don't play Clash and we just play Discipline War at a bigger scale,
well, Clash has the extra dice. That's the thing. So Clash
yes.
is a lot more like Legions, where you've got the 3 different types of dice and.
Yeah. But the new rules, the Discipline Wars 2.0, I think have the new. I haven't ordered the book yet.
Yeah,
well, so.
Same here. I don't know.
But that might replace Clash for us, which we haven't played.
Yeah,
we'll replace a game we haven't played
but
yet.
I started, the reason I bought the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth stuff was for Clash.
Yeah, I know.
I started building for Clash.
Yeah, I did.
Because we talked about it, and then we just kind of forgot about it. Yeah,
I bought all my Canadians and all the terrain for that, too.
Yeah.
So but that's going to come out later.
Yeah, so
but, yeah, we need to do that.
I'll just come back around to my original point where I just like high model count games.
Yes.
Which is maybe why I'm more of the speed painting army painter guy in our group.
Yes.
As opposed to the individual award-winning model painting guy. Yeah, because every game I play is... play regularly anyway. I mean, even War Machine and Hordes. You know, we started doing a painting challenge last year with... whether a Guillaume, not the same Guillaume, not Guillaume de Machine, but another Guillaume, we were trying to paint for Unbound.
Yeah.
And, he eventually realized it was so insane that he kind of gave up on it. But I was actually keeping pace. I was doing like 35 points a month or something. So, because I've.
That's really good.
I think I have close to 200 points of Menoth.
That was your goal, at least. I don't know if you owned it all before you started the challenge.
No, I didn't own it all, but I traded a Necron army with someone with Chris for more Menoth. But I have like at least 150 points of Menoth painted. I probably have 60 or 70 points painted.
Well, that's enough to play most games.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
regular
yeah.
size game are 35 and 50.
Yeah.
So
now, sadly, I've lost a bunch of my painted models for that. I have to get them back. I loaned them to a gaming store, and then they ended up getting packed away and taken home by someone. And they'll come back to me eventually. I just have to get around to that. But yeah, everything I play, I tend to go overboard and buy tons of models. Because every game I play, I want to play it like I play 40K, where it's just a table full of stuff.
Yeah. It's funny because War Machine Ords is just too high model count to count as really as a skirmish.
Now, when it started, it was really skirmish.
But it was skirmish because it was released with only the battle box. But still, the rules were made to be played with units and stuff like that. Well, but they weren't released at first.
Yeah, I mean,
but the rules were going there.
Yeah, I mean, I think really, if you go back to the Mark I days, most people played what would be the equivalent of a 35-point game nowadays.
Yeah, 35 or 50 points now.
Most people I knew played smaller games, so...
Oh, okay. I was in the tournament scene at Gamers World back in...
Well, excuse me, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Oh, no, I'm not a tournament player, but we played at tournament
right.
level because the people we played with were playing in those tournaments.
I'm trying to remember what the old point scale was.
It was 500 and 750. So the 500 is about equivalent to the 35 now. And 750 was about the equivalent of the 50 now.
Yeah, because I think most of what I paid was 500 points. Anyway. Yeah.
And I was mentioning that because it doesn't fit in the style, in any of my preferred styles, but it's my favorite game. So there's a dichotomy there.
Disconnect.
Yeah.
That's so true. And it's not really... It's a fun game. It's not really a large scale... Like, it's not really supposed to be a mass combat large scale game either.
Have you tried Unbound yet?
No.
No. I played once. It's an undertaking.
Yeah, but it's like playing Apocalypse, right? Where you know it's going to take a long time and you just set the time aside for it. It's not the type of thing you start at 7 o'clock at night with a buddy on a work night.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Yeah. But it's also a lot more... you need to be more in the game. Like Apocalypse, we were playing in that with beers and hard liquor. But I wouldn't play Unbound with beers and hard liquor on the table. Because it's a lot more involved.
Well, that's because you've never played against me.
No, I could play that. But the speed of the game would just degrade. Because they're so...
Yeah.
In general, War Machine and Ord,
it's a different game,
right? You have so many combinations possible. Well, you have 200 points of the tape on the table. What are you going to activate and what's going to
combo with your models individually do a lot more than 40K. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 40K, your units, your basic units do... Everyone does the same thing. There's not a ton of special abilities. There's no weird mechanics. There's no synergies. It's just, I shoot, I move, you know, I assault, I do whatever. But it's very straightforward.
And you do it all at once. Yeah. With Unbound, you have to decide... What are you gonna activate this? Well, they change the play structure.
Yeah, you break it out into like battle groups.
Yeah, battle group with some units. So it's really different, and some of the rules even change their timing.
Well,
so,
spells change too, right? There's a revised spell list or something.
It's only like all spells and rules that have lasting effect for rounds or turn. Some of those change because the
right because rounds and turns are different. In this.
Yes, exactly. So they had to add the wording for those,
Yeah,
that's something that was mentioned. Is it those or those?
Those.
Okay, so I say those always, and someone commented about that. So I'll try to
correct
myself. So those.
What's the other malice? Malice is the French term. When you say someone has a malice.
Oh, a drawback or something like that.
A penalty.
So I say malice. Okay, malice is French. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try to remember that too.
I'm sure everyone's figured it out.
Yeah, I'm sure too. So, onward with any other preferred style?
No, I think that pretty much covers that.
Okay, so...
Let's maybe talk a little about the games we've played and what we play and where we're going.
Well, I'll just add something else before we go to games. What's your preferred genre? Sci-fi, cowboy, Cthulhu stuff, actual modern warfare?
You know... A year ago, I would have said sci-fi. Absolutely. So, the way my kind of gaming, my miniature gaming evolved is I played 40K. That's all I played for years. And then 40K just kind of died in Montreal. I don't know what happened. Around the time that Donjon closed on Maisonneuve, the 40K community kind of just disappeared. And everyone started playing War Machine and Hordes. So I started playing War Machine, and I never really liked the look of War Machine. I'm not a big fan of the steampunky, quasi-technology thing going on.
I wasn't either. That's why I started only with Hordes.
Yeah. I love the rule set. The rule set is straightforward, and it's rock solid, and there's no, well, how can I read this rule to make it the best possible interpretation for me? Yeah, which, you know, that kind of happens in this other game we play, or I play.
Or the rules is different depending on which player turn it is.
Yeah. So I liked playing War Machine, but I didn't enjoy painting the models the same way as I did with 40K.
Yeah. The Abbey side you were enthusiastic about.
You know, but I painted War Machine for years because that's what everyone was playing. And then last year when I started playing Fantasy, everything kind of switched on me. So now I enjoy playing painting 40K and playing 40K, but I've been all about Fantasy since last fall. And I've painted a bunch of Chaos stuff, more High Elf stuff.
A whole IF army. You're halfway through your Chaos army now.
And it's all I've been playing is Fantasy. Though I want to start getting some War Machine Hordes practice in, because if I'm going to go to TempleCon and play, I don't want to look like a complete retard. What does that do again? How does this work? Yeah. So, I don't know if I have a... All that say, I don't know if I have a preferred genre anymore. I'm multidisciplinary.
Yeah. Is there some genre you don't like?
Well, the thing is, now there's miniatures for every genre, right? There's...
Yeah.
There's some superhero, there's cowboys, there's...
Like you mentioned, you didn't like that much the steampunk, even if they're not steampunk, but they're steam-powered.
Yeah,
in War Machine, isn't that a genre you're fed up with?
Yeah, it's not. I guess I'm a purist. It's not pure sci-fi. It's not pure fantasy. I just don't really. You know, it's like
it's a mashup of genre.
Malifaux.
So, yeah,
I have a hard time with Malifaux. A lot of their factions.
Yeah,
just because I would never paint anything like a Steamborg or that weird hybrid twisted kind of look. Doesn't do much for me. Again, I have fun playing the game. I enjoy Malifaux. I think the mechanics are unique, and it's fun. And you never really know what's going to happen. The cheating fate and stuff, but it leaves me cold. So I think I'm just a purist. You know, pure sci-fi, pure fantasy. I don't mind modern as well, or kind of near modern,
mm-hmm.
like Dust and stuff. I like the way the models look.
Like alternate history, but not too alternate.
Yeah. Well, the thing about So, okay, diverge a little bit here. Historicals. I like the look of historicals. So we're talking about small-scale games now. I really like mass combat. So you would think I'd love Flames of War, because it's small-scale. You can play huge games. But my biggest problem with it is it's historical. So you're chained by what actually happened in history. And the idea of playing a game to recreate a scenario that happened leaves me cold, because it takes away from the imagination of it. You know, get right down to it, we're playing with a bunch of little bonhommes on the table, right? It's all about imagination. And it's just, to play a historical game, I find doesn't give me that freedom. You know, I can't make a weird, crazy list that makes no sense, because that would never get fielded. Because, that didn't get fielded in World War II or Vietnam or World War I or whatever.
Do you have the same problem with older stuff, like, let's say, Ancient or Dark Age? Or only more recent history? Because I have the same thing. I couldn't play anything that's closer than maybe 1800s, 1700s maybe. But older than that, I find it's so far away and so imprecise that it's
it's almost fantastical
side.
Anyway, yeah. Right?
It's so far from what we know right now.
So I would play like a medieval historical game. Yeah, I could totally see that. But again, it depends on the rule set, and depends how restricted you are.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if it's pretty open-ended, I can definitely see myself doing it. If it's got, like, a rigid structure to, like, army composition and stuff.
Like, I've seen some historical rules that you go on Wikipedia, look at the troop from a precise battle, and you have to fight with dudes. With those, again, you wouldn't play that.
Yeah, exactly. That's not my thing. Not enough freedom. Yeah, what about you? What genre... appeals to you most?
Yeah, like I said, I'm not too much into sci-fi. There's some sci-fi I like, but it's more a look thing. In general, space gear stuff, I'm not that much into. I'm more into fantastical stuff. Magic, ancient armies, sword and arrows and all that. I love all the twisted stuff, but not too much. Like, I love
relics, right? Yeah.
Which is twisted fantasy with a dark turn to everything they can do in the dark parts. But I don't like horror stuff, and I don't like Cthulhu.
So no,
all the Cthulhu or even just zombies and stuff like that. I'm not into that at all. So I like... And like I said, I love historical battles, but only like medieval or older.
Right. Stuff where you don't feel like you're tied down.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're not exactly sure. Sure, some scholars may know on the back of their hand who were there at the same time using what kind of wool for their shirts and everything. But for most of the common people like us, it's almost fantastical, like you said.
So yeah, exactly.
Dudes, I can see myself playing. And like fantasy game or fantasy inspired. I'm not into modern stuff at all because it's too close historical. Some alternate I like. I like the concept of mercs, which is near future sci-fi.
Yep.
But not full sci-fi. No spaceship, no aliens. Yeah, high-tech. So that I liked. And it's not historical. It's crazy near future dystopian. So I like that one. But so it's more of a case by case with sci-fi stuff.
Right.
Or most of the anime inspired I like. Like Anima Tactics. I like the concept.
But that's fantasy anyway, right?
Yeah, that's weird. That's like Final Fantasy. So it's anime, but you have gun.
Oh, there's guns?
Yeah, some characters have magic guns.
Okay.
So that's why it's strange. And I like Relic Knights, which I'm into recently, which is sci-fi, but it's sci-fi anime. And it gets me. So I like that one, but I wouldn't play like Infinity. I love the Skulls. I can't get the style.
Yeah. I can understand that. I have a similar problem with Infinity. I'm a big anime fan, and I like sci-fi. And like you said, the models are gorgeous.
Especially the new Skulls. They're resculpting almost everything. Like the new Skulls, I can see, are better, but they don't have the flair. Like, I love the Morats. And the new ones are crazy good. But I loved the old monkey-faced Morats. I painted one of those for a competition.
Right.
And I love it, but there's nowhere near the detail of the new ones, and that's for sure. But I love the old kind of sculpting they had. But yeah, still, I wouldn't play it.
And even when I bought my Force for that, I played Ariadna, which is low-tech kind of... And the reason I picked that... The reason I picked them is because they made me think of G.I. Joes.
So, that's true. They're the closer to G.I. Joes you can get.
Well, the thing is, because you had all these different looking guys from all these different countries. So you had like the British SAS guy who's wearing like the balaclava and he's running around with knives. You have like the American Ranger guy who looks like, you know, Rokondo from G.I. Joe. And you had everyone looks like a different type of soldier.
Yeah, the other one, they had Russian, French, and the Scot. Yeah, which all look like Joseph's, yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. Because it made me think of G.I. Joe. I said, okay, I'll play with them.
Wouldn't you go for a G.I. Joe themed army? Like Guillaume is painting.
You know,
the Ghost in the Shell. The Ghost in the Shell one.
You know, I never thought of that until just now when I was talking about it and why I bought that army. So I wonder if I could.
You could paint them as the G.I. Joes themselves and go for a team, mud them. And everything.
You know, I'll maybe have to revisit that. I'm curious to also that the game rules kind of.
I had troubles with the rules. Maybe the third edition is better edition for you.
Exactly. So I want to, you know, the jury's still out. I'll wait and see.
So that's it for my genre. Like I said, fantasy, ancient, like twisted stuff, but not too twisted. After that, I think we can go into the games.
Yeah, sure.
And we can look in the past before looking at what we play now. So what games were you really into before that you have stopped playing and why? And by that, I mean game you have played enough to really count, like at least an handful of time. Like,
yeah,
there's a bunch of game we tried,
maybe one
game or two, and know they're not for us. So we won't list everything out, but games we've really
and
played.
I tend to cycle in and out of games, so
yes.
All this stuff that I might not be playing now that I may come back to at some point in the future.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
You know, so going back, Confrontation.
Yeah.
I used to play Confrontation. That was like the first skirmish game. you know, and I picked it up for fantastic models.
Yes.
The rules went from kind of clunky to really clunky to overly simple. And then I actually was part of the beta testers for the new rule set that...
the Phoenix edition?
Yeah, that Black Ball was trying to do. And that was just a nightmare. I won't even go into how bad that was. It was such a mix. And the biggest problem is you had a bunch of people beta testing it. Half of them were like, well, we'll beta test this, we'll play it, but you know, we're never going to play, we're never going to call it Confrontation.
If it's not the same thing as was before it stopped existing.
You get people insisting on, you know, old rules, old mechanics, like weird number crunching, like no, games aren't there anymore. It's like trying to travel back in time, right? And you remember this game as being awesome from years ago.
But it didn't stay, so there might have been something that didn't work.
Yeah, and no one wants to play the games like that anymore. No one has the time. The games have to flow. Now, there's no reason that a game playing with four models aside takes 3 hours or whatever. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, played AT-43. Again, another Rackham game, and that had some cool stuff.
Yeah, the monkey faction. I don't remember the Carmans. The Carmans. I love those cults.
You know, their vehicles always...
I almost bought them.
Their vehicles, their flyer thing, made me think of a toaster from the 1950s.
Yes, yes. Like old Betty Crocker's stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
With the pastel colors on them. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. And the chrome, like the... Anyway. The Carmans were not my favorite faction.
No,
but I
love them.
But I
dudes in the cogs.
The cogs. I had a UNA army. I had everything actually at the time that was released for UNA, and I really liked the game because I saw people playing it, and I was like, okay, well, here's my chance to find a game like 40K after the 40K community died. You know,
and but it different, died on you.
And then it died on me. So I bought a whole army, got everything ready, read the rules, and they discontinued the game, and everyone stopped playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. And this is in no particular chronological order I was going to mention, because I'm kind of jumping all over the place. Uncharted Seas. Had a lot of fun with that. First Spartan game I played. Well, first Spartan game that was released.
Yes.
Simple rules. Fun. But again, it just kind of died here.
Yeah.
Dust Warfare. Oh, Dust Warfare. How I wanted to love you. So, you know... Good models, but it had the historical problem where I found I was really constrained to what I can make as an army.
But wasn't that more list building than historical relevance?
Well, the thing is, the reason the list building was the way it was is because they were trying to maintain that kind of how you would really build a platoon.
And
everything was very conditional. Like, if you wanted to take this type of unit, then you had to have two types of this unit and then one of these, and it had to be this type of army. So... It didn't feel very open. And there was a lot of odd things about warfare. You know, guns had really short range. I played Russians, or SSU, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, most of my units had 12-inch ranges. So I was constantly chasing people across the table to try to be able to shoot them with my guns, which seems counterintuitive when we're talking about guns.
Yeah. And wasn't there the... reaction bubble was 12-inch.
Yeah.
So you would
I'd get to
always
range.
Be shot before you do something.
Yeah. And if they had you know, available actions, they could step out of range. So I'd get to range and step out of range. That other thing that bothered me was I get into close combat, so I fire my rifle, my handgun, I throw a grenade, you know, because each model did everything on his card.
Okay, I never played it.
Yeah,
I only heard about it. So
I found this out the first time I'd ever played the game. They railroaded me into playing in a tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And So I'd read the rules.
You're good at that.
Yeah. So I read the rules, and my brain just logically assumed I have these three weapons. I pick which one I want to use. I use one. Oh, no, no. That first turn of combat was brutal, where I found out that, you know, I had everyone throwing grenades, knives, you know, pitchforks, whatever they could find at me. I was like, what just happened? how many dice? What's going on? Yeah, this is bad. So yeah, that kind of died. Let's see here. My list just closed on me. Okay, a Battlefleet Gothic. Love Battlefleet Gothic, but again, no community, so it's kind of died. Malifaux. Malifaux disappeared on me too. Especially with the coming of the second edition rules, a lot of people, I think, just stopped playing, or I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But I don't see anyone playing the game anymore around here. Firestorm Armada. Same thing as every Spartan game. People just kind of die.
Get into it and...
Get out of it.
Yeah.
But I really kind of like space combat games.
Yeah.
And that brings me to another game I'm going to mention here called Starmada. Now, Starmada is an interesting game because it doesn't actually have a miniature line associated with it. It's used whatever spaceship models you want to use. It plays on a hex map. And it's freeform ship construction. So you have no set lists. You have a set of rules to help you make ships. You design your fleets. And you play. And it is a full rule set. It's one book. And it's a lot of fun. But again, it's trying to find people to play it.
I have another space game in mind, but it's not X-Base.
I think
it's continuous movement. So
vector movement?
Yeah, vector movement.
So Starmada also has vector movement rules.
We always extrapolated to
Are you thinking maybe full thrust or something?
Yeah, full thrust. Yeah. I've read part of the rule book.
Full thrust is fun, but I found it too cumbersome. The vector movement thing was way too cumbersome.
I like the concept, but it's probably too hard on for most non-university class mathematician.
Yeah. So, and the thing about Starmada is all pre-plotted movement.
Okay.
So you had your fleet, and you had to plan all your fleet deployment, and your opponent planned all his fleet deployment, and then you moved. And then you did your shooting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like X-Wing heavy. Heavy X-Wing?
Yeah, with no templates, right? So you had no idea what they were moving. Mm-hmm. And because the ships could be changed every time you played,
yes,
you never knew what you were going to face. And it had rules for everything. So you could have the giant, Robotech / Macross super cannons that destroyed everything, like in a straight line for X number of hexes, and my friend Alex, shout out to Alex here, he had a history of losing to me, so he decided he was going to win, and he won by making a fleet that had no hyperdrives. So I don't know how long it took him to get where they were going, but then when they got there, they had no way to get home afterwards, and the fleets were mostly carrier ships that launched tons and tons of fighters, and then he would ram the carriers into you to try to kill out your ships.
Okay.
Basically making sure his fighters had no place to go home afterwards either.
It was a last-ditch army.
Yeah, it was the suicide army. And it completely caught me off guard, and he won because I'm like, well, who builds an army like without that? Engines to go home? And, It was terrible. And that was the other thing. So he made it super cheesy where you had to have launch bays on your ships when you built them.
Yes.
And how many launch bays you had determined how many ships you could launch a turn. But you could start play with the ships launched. So in order to save space on his big carrier so he could put more fighters, he only had one launch bay. But he started the game with them all on the table, so it didn't matter.
Okay.
Because if you tried to launch them during the game, it would have taken like 30 turns to launch all these stupid fighters. It was ridiculous. But because of that, it meant that the next game we played, I had to develop a point defense system, so I had to build my ships with short-range weaponry designed to specifically take out fighters in case he tried this again. So, like, the gaming environment, the meta, evolved constantly every game.
Just the meta, always.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a good game. And it's still in production. But again, it's just trying to find people to play it. And last but not least, Mercs. I was really big into Mercs when it launched. I thought it was a lot of fun. But I played a lot of it, and the system has some drawbacks, we'll say.
Yeah.
And I just eventually lost interest. The low model count's what drew me in, and the fast gameplay. But it's really strategic because it's a game about positioning, not really about standing and shooting. It's a lot about getting crossfire set up and you know, suppression fire
and support.
But there's some things that are really cumbersome in the game. And the idea of using, they have a unique mechanic where they have cards.
Yes, for movement and
So your cards that are your stats for your model are also your templates for movement and firing and stuff, which is kind of cool, but also kind of clunky. And it led to some weird things happening. Anyway, on the whole, interesting game, but long term, it just didn't hold my interest. So what about you? Tell us a little about what you used to play.
The first and the big one is probably 40K. That's a game I've played years and years. I still have models for it, but I haven't played in...
Not since you and I played in that team tournament?
Yeah, I think that's the last time we played. And before that was
TempleCon 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, and before that, I hadn't played for a year or two at least. So that game is past me. I just don't get into the rules. I don't get into the company, but that's something else. But I like some of the concepts, but it's the grimdark, sci-fi, well, lo-fi.
Yeah, well, it depends on which race you're playing, right?
Yeah. Well, even then, I have Tau, which are supposed to be the high-tech guys, and still, I don't like them. So, I probably don't play the right army for me. They're, I know that, but I don't want to invest into it.
Yeah, it is an investment. But you should try the new edition with me sometime. It would be fun with the cards and the random...
I don't know. I just... There are so many games.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. There's so many things we can play, right?
And that one
we can play more fantasy.
It's a money investment, but it's also a time investment. The games are long, and there's so much stuff to build and paint that I don't know if I want to invest time in that game when I have a bunch of other ones I like more anyway.
Yeah, I hear you.
So... And there's that one. Another one I really liked was Chronopia, which was the fantasy version of Warzone.
I'm trying to remember. It was the fantasy version of
Chronopia? Well, not the fantasy version of Warzone, but by the same company. So it's a precursor of War Machine, I would say, because it's another giant shoulder pads and giant weapon style of game. I love the concept of the game. We played it a bunch at our club when I was in CEGEP. And I love it. I still have the rule book. I still have the sketchbook with it. The models were not up to the sketches. That's for sure. If it was done right now, the model would be far better.
Well, yeah, but this was a game. Chronopia was...
That's...
Late 90s?
Late 90s, yeah.
Because I remember people were playing that... What was the other one? The 40K style? Or the sci-fi one? Warzone?
Yeah, they released it with the Kickstarter recently.
Yeah, they said Warzone Resurrection or whatever.
Yes,
yes. Nice looking models, too, I have to say.
Yeah, the new ones are good. The old ones weren't that good.
But wasn't the Chronopia system also used for something else?
I think that's the basic of Dark Age now.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I like the concept, but they had... They probably should have worked on it more, but and the release, there was too many armies for their speed of release, so there was a lot of stuff that wasn't available even for the first books, and there was too many options that you didn't have models for, but that one died too soon, I think. But there was potential, or there would be potential if they released it now, but with War Machine already out. That might be too straight up.
It's a tough segment, yeah. Right?
Yeah. So I like that one. But I still have maybe an handful of models painted that I liked. I painted one for last year. One of my favorite factions was the dwarf. They were all based on animal totems. So all their armor were modded with the, a sandalier, a boar. Boar heads with boar tusks on the helms. And in the story, their gods had been... The dwarf gods were living on Earth with the dwarves in their holds. And one of the other faction made something, an enchantment or something like that, that drove the gods mad. and mutated them. And one of the older dwarf went into the cave and was able to bring back the tamed god with them, and they used them as giant beast on battle, and you could have these giant mutated boar that was maybe 100 millimeter high compared to your 20 millimeter wow. dwarf on the side of it. And
it's a huge model. It was
crazy. I love that one. The next one I used to play a lot was Uncharted Seas, which you already mentioned. I played that. I love that game. That's one of the games I played the most often in the smallest time period. I probably was playing 5 to 6 games a week when it was released.
Wow. Here.
Yeah, I got into it a lot. And I lost all those games. I was playing Tenrest Helves.
Yeah, same faction I have.
Yeah, and before I switched faction, I hadn't won a single game. And most of those were demo games even. And I wasn't even trying to lose to the person I was demoing the game to. I just wasn't able to play with those. They're not my playstyle, I think. But I heard a lot of people who were playing Tenrest that weren't able to win either. So there might have been a balance problem.
To be honest, I never won either. I think about it. I played probably a dozen games or whatever. I don't think I ever won.
Yeah.
Or if I did, it was by happenstance because it blew up or whatever. And
I won one game with Deuce, and it was a certain scenario game, special scenario, that you had to pick stuff up and bring back.
Well, they're fast.
And they were crazy fast, and the other opponent was just slow enough that I had to turn.
To get there, pick up.
To get there before him and go back. And that's the only way I was able to win a game with them. But we both picked up the 2.0 rules
for that
at Gen Con. So I still have 3 fleets, I think. And 2 of those are painted. So I think we could play, get back that bet. Because it's like Firestorm Armada or Dystopian Wars, but a lot simpler and it play faster, I think. So that could be a good beer and pretzel one evening.
Yeah, no, I could definitely do that.
Throwback game.
I got to figure out where my elves are. Yeah. I think I even picked up a second box of them because I think I found them for cheap.
I have a bunch of dudes unpainted in blisters yet. If you want dragons, if you want the dreadnought, if you want the heavy everything, I have dudes and the shroud mages, the evil dwarves.
Yep.
So those are. I have a starter of those painted.
Yeah, those. I'll be honest. The models for Uncharted Seas were not the best.
No, but they all redid them. They all re-sculpted the whole line.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you should look at them.
Probably shouldn't look at them.
Yeah, they're not available anymore anyway. So.
Oh, that's right. They discontinued it.
Well, they're available direct from Spartiums now. They're not released to
distribution.
Distribution. So, next one is Necromunda. That I played at one of the specialist games from Game Workshop. It was based in the 40K universe, but you were playing the scum in one of the
hive worlds. Yeah, I played it too. I didn't put it on my list, but I played House Escher. What did you play?
I played the Redemptionist.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, the crazy fire guys.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that game. We played that a lot.
It was fun. We played
leagues and leagues and leagues.
And yeah, because it was league play, right? You guys evolved.
Yeah.
Now, the only problem was that the models were metal, and it was hard. You couldn't really convert.
It was hard. You could,
but it wasn't.
You could change equipment every game, but doing that for your models to follow, it was crazy.
It made no sense.
Yeah, no. But yeah, we played a lot.
So it ended up, like, a lot of times you're trying to remember who had what, and like for your opponent.
Oh, yeah.
It was a nightmare. That guy's got a las pistol, right? No, actually, he's got a bolter.
No, it's a las cannon. He's AV now. Yeah. What? That juve there is an AV.
Yeah, exactly. So it made it tough to keep track.
Yeah.
And I started, I bought a bunch of Catachans.
Yeah.
To make Goliaths.
Yeah, everyone was doing that.
This actually wasn't that long ago. This was like a couple years ago. I don't know why I suddenly got it in my head like I was going to play Necromunda again, because that's going to happen.
That came on the 40K Montreal Facebook group. There was a guy who mentioned, hey, anyone want to go and have a Necromunda rig back? And a bunch of people said, oh, yeah, that would be fun. And it never happened.
Yeah, well, Necromunda was a cool game, right? Yeah. especially with the terrain and the multi levels and the.
Yeah, one I've not listed here, but that scratch the same itch is a Dead Zone.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the same kind of I've. Well, same look with low count models in league play that you can get your squad better. And
yeah.
Yeah, that might be interesting.
It's something to look out for.
Yeah. And the other one I wanted to mention in my past game is the Mercs games that you already mentioned too. So that I didn't play as much as you. I love the models.
Well, I was actually one of their Black Ops.
Yeah, the unofficial backups because you were never fully registered.
No, I was fully registered. I just could never get the stupid website to work, yeah, and no one could fix it for me.
Yeah.
And they had the worst comp program ever.
Yeah, too.
What did I figure out you had to do?
You had to do 40 demo for...
40 hours of demos would give you like a template or something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, the plastic template, something like that.
It was the worst comp program ever. But I was in love with the game at first, so it didn't matter. And then I had such a hard time. Anyway, it's another story. But
yeah. So I didn't play much of it because before I was able to
get my stuff... Well, we played it in our little group there.
Yeah, because before I was able to get my stuff painted, I think most people got bored with the game. So when I came out with my stuff, I played a game with you, some game with Guillaume. And I think that's about it.
What played?
CCC.
Oh, that's right. You had the same faction that I started with. Yeah.
Yeah, the Yellow Jackets. I still have two of those to paint. The
nice models, though.
Yeah, I like, and I have the limited edition cat, the incinerator. So I want to paint her, but I have so many models. I just want to paint for the
joy of painting.
That one day I'll get to her, but I'm not there yet. And that's about it for my past stuff. So maybe we go into what we play now. And my list is pretty long. I think yours too. So we might switch back and forth.
Alternate, sure.
So just go for it and we'll see after.
Well, I'll start off with War Machine Hordes. I mean, I haven't played... I say I play it now. I haven't played recently, but I keep up on it. And, you know, I'm still painting models. So I've got my my Menoth, my Kador, my Legion... and my circle forces for that.
So, and you like the game?
Well, yeah.
We already talked about that one.
Yeah. No, so. I like the game. Like I said, probably the most solid rule set in miniature gaming right now.
Yeah. So that's my main game right now. That's the game I play the most. That's the game I've played the most in the past 6, 7, 8 years, I think. I have two playable painted armies, which is a lot for me. I have Trollbloods and Minions, but only the Pharaohs. Fully painted, not fully painted, but playable painted list. And they have a bunch of other sub-factions. I love the rules. I love the concept. I love the background, even. People were poo-pooing the background, but because it's hard to follow because it's all cut up in all the books.
Yeah.
But when you read it all, it's interesting, and there's a progression in it.
There's a cool storyline in War Machine Hordes, but it's impossible to follow unless you buy every single book that comes out.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of incentive to buy those books.
Nope.
Because they may introduce one new rule, which you'll just learn by playing, and all the model rules are on the cards.
Yes. So it's only for fluff and the... like the
pretty pictures
at the end. The next game I'm going to mention that I play now is Warhammer Fantasy Battle. That's the game that started me into miniature hobbying back in 92, something like that, 93 maybe.
Wow.
So, and I'm still playing that game. I had an hiatus at the start of the 8th edition, but we're back into it. Paul's playing, other local friends are playing too. And we don't really do tournament play, and that I still can't digest. I find people do the crazy spamming of units and it's different rules. But for casual play, for beer and puzzle like we do, I love it. It's mass combat at 2 months at the Twire scale for my taste, but I already have them painted, so why not use them?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's not a lot of time investment, right? You already got the models done.
Yeah. So I only add a unit once in a while. For the new stuff they come out with.
So yeah, exactly.
That's fine. Painting one or two units a year is not that bad. It's not like I have to paint my whole army back in. So, and you play that too.
Yeah. No, and I play that, and that's pretty much all I've been playing since last fall. I haven't had a lot of gaming time, new baby, and all kinds of family stuff. So when I do sneak a game in lately, it's been Warhammer Fantasy. And yeah, it's a great game. Love it. Well, maybe great game is a bit of a stretch, but it's a really good game. And it's in the right context, it's a lot of fun with the right people. Tournament play GW games, not my thing. Just because the rules are too vague and people tend to build stuff that's just not particularly fun for tournaments.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to play against that. If I'm going to pay to go somewhere, I want to have fun while I'm doing it. But that's me. Let's see, aside from fantasy, what else have I been playing? Oh, 40K, of course. One of my 8 million armies. I'm playing 7th edition. I only managed to get one game of 7th in so far, and that was against Yom. And that was actually, it was our first game of 7th and Apocalypse at the same time.
Ouch.
That was, I think it was 8,000 points we played. It took all day. We had, like, some of the craziest rolls ever. Like, Yom had half his army just not come on until, like, turn 3.
Ouch.
So I was stomping him. And then my army fell apart on turn 3. Yeah. And we were going to do the weather table, because in Apocalypse is, like, weather effects.
Yes.
So we're looking at doing that, too. And we rolled the... Oh, what is it?
Like,
it's like magma rain or whatever. It was stupid to the point where, like, we looked at the rules for it. Like, okay, we'll do this. Oh, we got this. Oh, okay. Magma storming is what it's called anyway. And they're like, well, what does it do? Oh, all your weapons get hot. Yeah, okay, we're not going to use that. Never mind. Like, it was just so bad. We're like, yeah, we have enough trouble keeping track of what's going on right now. We don't need to add this to it. So we decided it was a bright sunny day on whatever planet we were blowing up. But yeah, I think, 40K like fantasy is a fun game in the right context with the right people. You know, the rules, yeah, there's giant ways to exploit them. But, you know, if you're a douchebag, you're a douchebag. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Well, yeah, that's true. Oh, okay. On my side, the next game I play, or I would like to play more, but I still get some games with Yom's once in a while, is Relics by Tor Gaming. The small fantasy skirmish/unit-based game in a twisted fantasy setting. I have two factions for that. I have the Britannians, like, that are puppet, like necromans, like voodoo puppets.
Yeah, like ragdolls. They're ragdolls.
Yeah, ragdolls.
Dressed up in
4 feet high, that were the souls of the lost people of the empire are raised to.
Yeah, basically, there's a calamity that kills almost everyone.
Yeah,
and the king goes nuts.
Oh yeah,
and uses magic to resurrect everyone and trap their souls in these, like, dolls.
And doom their souls into these dolls. And he used those as his army now. So I have the Britannians, and my other faction are the Orknars, which are like the an elemental, shamanistic, primitive army. They fought for honors and stuff like that.
Aren't they kind of like a mix between orcs and the trolls from Hordes?
Yeah, a bit.
With a mutated thing going on too?
No, the mutation all started with the Cataclysm.
Yeah.
So, in that twisted faction, they lost the ability to procreate, to reproduce. They lost all their tie to the magic, and they started to mutate and go wild, forgot the elemental part of them, forgot the shamanist part, and go for blood, gore, and went crazy. So, and start to be even more territorial than they were before. So that's the close combat faction, the in-your-face faction of the game. And so I play the ranged Britannian and the in-your-face Orknars. And I love the game. The game is special. Instead of, you have dice pool, but to hit, you have to roll doubles. So if you roll a double one, like in most game, that's crazy bad. In that's a hit. You roll a double two, that's a hit. You roll four ones, that's two hit. So I like the concept that even rolling poor is good. And the scale is a bit like a small War Machine game. So you need maybe 12, 20 models. And I like the concept. The fluff is crazy. Everyone has gone mad. It's all version of the what you would find in the regular fantasy setting, but all twisted. Like, they don't have elves. They have crazy fairies with sharp teeth that went mad and destroyed like the world with their cataclysm.
What movie was it? Was it Hellboy? Yeah. It had these cute little fairies, and then they smile, and it's this mouthful of teeth, and they eat everyone in the room.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what these guys are like, right? The Vaitir. Yeah.
They look like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have the Nuems, which are a bit like a mix of, or between gnomes or dwarves that went into hiding, were slaved and shoved into pain suits to make them work in mines. And they were able to finally get freed of that their masters, but they were too accustomed to the pain, and now they wear the pain suit full time, and they went nuts because of that.
So, yeah, well, the whole universe is kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Even the Riddens we mentioned in the news are like the small goblins. They seem sane, but they don't have really history. So their minds are fused to their armor for the knights, and they forget their identity and get the identity of all the knights before, and they. So when they die on the battlefield, another one goes, oh, there's a suit of armor, picks in him. Oh, and ha, now I'm a knight, gets all the skills and the history I've used before. It's crazy.
Wow, all right. It's over to me.
Yep, go for it.
So another game I play is Heavy Gear. So Heavy Gear is a futuristic game of fighting mecha. Scale is 11 millimeter.
Yep.
Which means the mecha stand about as tall as a space marine. And the game is either skirmish scale, or it can be brought up to like army combat.
And it's for people who want to picture it. It's not like a battle tech where the mechs are like tall as buildings, 12 to 15 feet.
The big ones might be like 18.
Yeah, so it's more like a single man.
And the very very anime
big
style.
Big battle suits.
Yeah, very very anime style.
Yeah, I figure PatLab or stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got a new edition of the rules that just came out, which greatly speed up the game. And there's a lot of history. There's a very developed world. Hard to find all the information now, because it's spread up into a bunch of different books, most of which are not useful anymore in the current meta, or in the current rule set for that matter. But you know, overall, I think it's a game worth checking out. And it's a local game, so I got a love hate relationship with Dream Pod 9, but I try to support them when I can. I think they've got they're on the right track now, so hopefully we'll see some more Heavy Gear stuff in the future. And yeah, I think that's about
it. I have some of that. I only played one or two games. I like the concept, but the rules were a bit clunky, and especially the list buildings rules.
Yeah.
I found too complex even for my taste. So I never really got into it. I have some of those, but I picked more of the. I picked the book at Gen Con like you did, and I'm looking forward to trying it out. But it's a game I have played enough to be able to.
Yeah, and really in addition, will be a good change. And okay. Let's see, what else you got on your list there, Antoine?
Okay, next one. I broke my own rules. I haven't played 5 game of that yet, but it's Relic Knights. And that I know I'll play more. It's on my painting table. Well, on my building table, to be honest. I haven't painted anything of it yet. I played 2 games up to it now. And Relic Knights is the anime-inspired sci-fi game from Solipop Miniature. And I love the rules. Well, there's some clunky stuff about like the squad interaction with terrains and stuff like that. But out of that, the activation rules with the ready queue, where you plan your activation in advance and you can answer to what your opponent is going to activate next and stuff like that. And the card, like you play with cards instead of dice,
yep.
But the cards have energy on them. So you might not be able to do the action you want to do.
Because you may not have cards in the pool that have the energy you need or whatever.
So there's a sub game of just dealing with the cards to Neo. So maybe I won't do this big action now because I need the cards for my next model to be able to either defend an attack my opponent might have or to build up a bigger and more effective attacks or more effective action with my next model. So I might just cycle through my cards and keep the good stuff. So I love
it. Yeah, where you're trying to build that perfect hand or whatever.
Yep, yeah, yeah. So I have a game plan next week of that. So I hope I'll be able to get to my at least 5 games mentioned to have that a real actual game pretty soon.
Okay, well, actually, I'm out of topics, so...
Oh, you're out of topic?
Yeah.
Okay, next one, we've played another one I'm... near 5 games or almost there is Dystopian Wars, which we mentioned with the Clash stuff. Yep. We played before. For the same reason I've already mentioned, I like the 10, like the, that's 1/1200s.
Yeah, the scale's tiny, right? Because the vehicles are so huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the terrain possibility, I mentioned terrain a lot. I love tables. I love the look. I'm into miniature building for the look of the game, not just the tactical game. We could play X Encounters war games if it was for that. If it wasn't for that, so I love that one. Next one, by the same company and even in the same universe, is Dystopian Legions. Is their 20-30 millimeter squad based combat version. I have the Japanese ones, the Empire of the Blazing Suns.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a pretty involved command system. You need to have officers near your squads to activate, to be able even to do anything more complex than shooting at short range or walking away.
I wonder if they fixed that.
Yeah.
Because I know that was one of the things that people were talking about, how they'd hoped it would change in the new edition.
We'll know soon. I think it releases at the end of the month or something like that.
I think so.
So I can't wait to get that book and to be able to get that out on the table with probably new players, because right now I think we're 3 active player at the store, so it's not a lot. And active is a bit much for a game we play maybe once every 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love that. I love the... And also, I converted mine. I wasn't a big fan of... I was a fan of... 1 or 2 of the units in my army. But I love the concept overall. And I was able to find conversion bits.
You're using Cromlech heads, I think, right?
No, I use the Secret Weapon miniature heads. The head with the gas mask. Because the Empire of the Blazing Sun is supposed to use a lot of gas.
Right.
Poison gas and all the bad stuff that we hear about in World War 1 and 2. And that I'll be banned with the Geneva Convention and stuff like that, which isn't the case in that game.
Yeah.
So, and they use that all. They're known for that. But their main infantry guys go without gas mask. And on top of that, I hated their small helmets. So I just chopped all their heads and replaced them with another similar looking heads, but... The similar looking hats, but faces with gas masks. And I prefer the new heads too, so...
They look really good. I've seen what you've got painted up there.
They're pretty fun. Next one is Endless Fantasy Tactics. That's a minis/board games by Adnalem.
Adnalem Games.
Yeah, it's like GRPG tactics games.
Yeah, so if anyone's ever played Final Fantasy Tactics, it's like that. Yeah. In a miniatures game, so it's played on a grid, and you have different character classes.
Yeah, and positioning is important. You can custom build your classes to if you add jobs and you were able to
exactly
modify your.
The idea is that if you have 2 fighters, let's say in your little squad, they could actually be built differently.
Yeah.
You have a list of abilities that you can take. I think you take any 2.
It depends on your level. Most classes are 2 crystals, which means they have 4 classes. 4
skills?
4 skills, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have the same basic abilities, but you have different skills which completely modify what you can do. And the positioning is important. It's all, I'll come back to that again. Terrain. You can do crazy terrain because the 3D is really important in the game. Having Vintage. So attacking from higher ground is important. Be able to backstrike your opponent. Be able to... There's a jump skill. A jump stat. So you might not be able to go where you want to go, but another model with a better jump stat might be able to get there faster than you.
Yep.
And so I love the concept. The game's balance might be... It's a small company.
It's a work in progress, yeah, right?
But the concept is really cool. And...
They're developing it pretty well too. Like
yes.
That's like you said, it's a small company and not a lot of resources, but everything they do have is basically being put into that right now.
Oh,
I don't think much is being put into Brushfire at the moment. I think it's all going all going into Endless Fantasy.
Yeah, I think it's selling well for them too, more than Brushfire was doing. So it's a good thing for them.
Well, I think it's Brushfire. For those who don't know, is a alternate history game. But think kind of like Redwall. So instead of men fighting men, it's animals.
Yeah, anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic, yeah, animals.
Like the faction I have, the Mare Civitas are like the Spaniards, but they're all little mice.
Yeah.
And different kind of mice. I have mice, I have jumping mice, I have capybaras, which they allied from in the South Americas, so...
Yeah, I can't really remember the faction I picked up.
You have the Vandalans.
Vandalans, they're like Germanic. So I have the gerbil engineers, and they have armored suits, which are pretty cool.
And you have the...
called Valkyrs. I have hamster berserkers.
Hamster berserkers.
Yes, I have hamster berserkers.
And one thing about that game is the rules are fun to read.
Yeah,
There's like small, tiny jokes about the animals, about the countries... All the way through the rules and the rules names, all their abilities names are fun to read and stuff. That's like true. That.
And I should also mention, though, that Antoine has built terrain for Endless Fantasy. It's been used at Gen Con and TempleCon.
Built three tables for them.
And actually, we have a couple painted models in the rulebook.
Yeah, we both have a gel, which is kind of slime creature. Yeah.
That we painted for them at TempleCon a couple of years back, and it made it into the final production of the rules, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's my first gaming product I have my name in.
Yep.
It's in the tanks for the Endless Fantasy basic books. Not just the Kickstarter part, which I was
part of too,
part of too, but I'm on the first page for a tanks, probably for the terrain and the help we did with the Froms and the painting and stuff like that.
Oh, they're good people, right? So they deserve all the help we can give them.
And I'll end the now stuff with the another board game, but the Super Dungeon Explorer, which is a dungeon crawl, but it's so mini-involved. You have so many miniatures, and the miniatures are crazy good. I love to paint them. That's
why constantly expanding, right? They're adding expansions all the time.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Kickstarter Forgotten King with high hopes. Each week when they send the weekly updates, I just can't believe the new miniature they're releasing and the new rules and all the updates they have. So I can't wait for that one. That one I don't play that often because
it's a long game.
It's a long game and you need... It's not just one versus one. You can play one versus one, but most people
It's a cooperative game, right? So you need to have 3-4 players versus the dungeon master.
Yeah. So... We don't play that often, but when we play it, it's crazy fun. And it just gives me more time to paint my little colors and the little crazy heroes. And I love this. That's probably all we play actively. And I'm sure we forgot some.
There's stuff in there like, you know, anyway. Yeah, I'm sure it's not a complete list, but it gives people a good idea. And that was the idea. So let's maybe talk about a little bit... what games we'd like to play, and I'm just gonna list them. I'm not gonna go into details because we haven't played them, so it's really hard to go into details. Yeah.
Maybe just go quick. Maybe what you're looking for.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to playing some Dystopian Legions because I did that demo with you a couple years ago at TempleCon. And I really liked it. So now I'm hoping that with the new rules, I'll be able to get into it a bit and start working on my American army or pick up another army to work on.
Like the new French or the new Russians.
Yeah.
Have you seen these cards?
Yeah, they're nice.
They're nice.
Even the Antarcticans look pretty good. I know they don't appeal to your
style. Oh, yeah, that's why. They didn't release the Russian sculpt. It's the Antarcticans.
Drop Zone Commander, which I have a full army for that's mostly painted that I plan to finish someday soon.
Have you tried it yet?
No.
No, not even?
Okay. Nope. You know, so I really want to get that game. I'm waiting for my board. So I ordered the Games and Gears board from Kickstarter.
Yep.
So I'm waiting for that board to come in, then I'll have, you know, everything I need to play. Relic Knights, which I backed off Kickstarter. We've talked about it a lot. I want to play that. Relics. Relics, I've got a Vitir faction.
You haven't have two model painted?
Yes, because Antoine painted two of the models for me. And I'm going to have two models that are going to look so much better than everything else I paint for that army. That
it's not even funny. I'm not sure.
Dreadball. I like the idea of a sports game, and it's quick and easy. It's not the time investment that Blood Bowl is, though I would play Blood Bowl too if someone would play. So yeah, looking forward to that. Bushido that we tried at Gen Con. You know, Fantasy yeah. Japan, small scale, fast, plays on a 2x2 board, gorgeous sculpts.
It keeps the good parts of confrontations.
Yeah, well. And Dust Battlefield, which is the new rules they've launched for basically playing Dust Tactics, but without the hex grid.
So and it's almost Dust Warfare?
No, so it's actually a lot different than Dust Warfare. Your ranges are different. So it uses the same stat lines as the Dust Tactics game. So that means you actually have support for the units out of the box, mm-hmm. unlike Warfare, where you have to wait for them to come up with the rules for it.
Yeah.
It plays much more like Tactics, but without the grid. And the army is much more freeform construction.
Okay.
So you can build an all-mecha list or an all, you know, mechanized artillery or whatever. You know, you're not stuck with, I have to take two units of these type of infantry that I don't like the look of to get this one tank that I do like the look of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that was my big problem with it, which makes me sad that I sold my whole army off.
Oh.
Because it's still the army I find I'm more interested in playing, so now if I want to play, I have to buy back everything I sold off, essentially.
And now you could play with what you had instead of what you needed to play with.
Yeah, exactly. So that kind of sucks. See, that'll teach me to sell stuff. Anyway, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, first one, Pulp City. The Kickstarter is supposed to ship end of October or pretty soon.
Superheroes.
Yeah, superheroes, generic ones. They all have their own backstory and everything. I tried the games once or twice. Love it. Love it. Love the concept. It's alternate activations. You have action points. You have movement points. You have movement activation. There's so many stuff that you need to...
You can play with the terrain and stuff.
You can play with the terrain. You can interact, throw your people out. You can throw people in buildings. You can lift cars and throw them at your opponents.
Well, it's a superhero game, right?
Superhero game, really.
So it plays like a superhero game, which is cool.
Yeah. Love that one. So I have some models that's going to get painted soon, and I'm waiting for the Kickstarter. Nemesis.
Spanish game,
right? That's a Spanish game. They did a Kickstarter recently for their new big models. I don't have any opponents locally for it. I have two factions, though, so maybe I'll be able to, when I get to it. I got the 2.0 edition earlier this year, and the rules look cool. The only bad part is it's in a tough place with all the other games I have. It's kind of the same scale as Relics, kind of the same scale as War Machines. So it's hard to get on the table. But I love the models. The orphans, which I played, are little kids disguised as insect that kills everyone in Winter Forest. The concept is so cool. But I don't know if I'll be able to play that one. But I like it, so maybe I'll just paint them. Anima Tactics, which I played 3 or 4 times with Yoms. We tried it. Love it. I have someone who's painting some for me right now. I usually don't get people to paint my stuff, but it's an exchange. So I'm doing a table for him. He's doing my painting for me. So it's a fair trade. Bushido, which Paul already mentioned. Warmaster. I love the concept. I played 2, 3, maybe 4 games up to now, but they go back so far that it's almost a new game for me. And I have a whole dwarf army I bought on eBay and Bartertown in parts, and I just need to get those playable and find someone else that's sad that the game isn't played anymore, and bring that on the table. Next one, War Gods of Aegyptus. I played that with Yom twice. Try that one. It's a I think, Paul, you would like that. if it wasn't for the model that you don't
yeah, well,
you don't get into.
The style of the game is my style, definitely. Yeah.
So it's a block army, mass armies fighting each other, but it's a pre-planned movement, so you have to prepare. Okay, I have that squad is going to advance, that can what it's going to shoot, that one is going to hold, but it's all pre-planned, and then you stop, and now you have an initiative rolls, and the winner pick a unit to activate, be it his or his opponent. So you don't know in what order your unit's going to activate.
That's pretty interesting.
So you could have said, I'm going to shoot with dudes, but no one is in range. And if your opponent make you activate them,
then you've lost your action.
You lost your action. So pretty fun. Saga, which is a Viking historical game. It's a pretty skirmish one. And they just released a new book to be able to play them in the Croisade.
Oh, the Crusades.
The Crusades went into free Jerusalem and stuff like that. So they have a new rulebook for more medieval period. And the rules seems interesting. You have fatigue that your opponent can use against you and stuff like that. So pretty interesting. I want to get the book, maybe try it. And lastly, Drop Zone Commander, like Paul mentioned. He already has stuff. I fell in love with the choppers.
Yeah, the resistance stuff. Choppers. It's all about the choppers.
All about the choppers. So once my fans allow it, I'll probably get a star and a blister or two or five of choppers and try that one. And that's about it. I'm sure there, like you mentioned, Malifaux. There's a bunch of other games we didn't mention.
Yeah,
I played some Malifaux. I have still a lot of it that I want to paint, but it doesn't get more in my want list than
It's not getting screen time right now. Yeah.
So there's a bunch I want to try other than those, but they are the main one.
Right. Okay. Well, that's pretty. I think it gives people a pretty good idea of what we like to do and what we like to play and why, and you know, hopefully, people will know us a little bit better and maybe realize that we actually are coming from a pretty broad base of miniature gaming history.
Yeah.
So we may actually know something about something. Maybe our opinion matters.
A bit.
Maybe our opinion matters after all.
I think you over...
Yeah, I know.
I don't think...
I want my opinion to matter, damn it. All right. But I think that pretty much wraps that up. So Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and say goodbye and that's it.
That's it.
Be right back. And we're back. So we just get a couple shout outs here, guys, before we sign off for the day. And I'll let Antoine take those now.
Okay. First one, I did a quick small contest on Facebook. I just took a picture of my second work table and hid a bunch of stuff on it for different games and just ask people to list all they can find. And the guy who was able to find the most is Mike, the same Mike as the final mail Mike.
Okay.
So congratulations, Mike. You won your name said on the podcast twice.
Ooh.
The only miniature he wasn't able to identify were the War God of Aegyptus miniatures that were hard to see on a bubble wrap. So he was able to find most of
those. Okay, we'll give him that one then. Yeah,
he merits it. Second one, I want to give a shout out to Jordan Steinhoff. I'm not sure about the pronunciation.
I think you got it. Steinhoff sounds...
From Alles Geek Podcast. He started listening to us, liked it, gave good comments, and he also shared the Chaos Lake event on his own group, so... I take him for that.
Oh, thanks, Jordan.
And also started listening to their own podcast, and their last main show had a good discussion about anime and difference between sub and dub. And it's pretty interesting. They have one of their third co-host is really into anime, and the discussion is really interesting.
I'll have to check it out. As a former subtitler for ADV, I might find it interesting.
Yeah. And lastly, I want to give a shout-out to the band La Drave, which provide us with the break and outro music. You can find hear more about La Drave at ladrave.bandcamp.com. They are a trad punk band from Quebec, so give them a listen.
Yeah, they have some cool tunes. And it's quite a bit of variety. It's got kind of an old feel, almost like a folk song feel, but mixed with a punk over. It's a punk
sound for old songs.
Yeah, it's a cool mix.
Yeah,
I'm primarily Anglophone, so I was actually surprised. I spent some time listening to the music, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, a friend of mine is part of the band, and I really love that.
Yeah, they have some awesome tunes.
And that's it for my shoutouts.
That's it for me too. At this point, I'm about to fall asleep in my chair. So
me too.
I got a lot of editing ahead of me, and we'll try to get this out in a day or two, guys. I'm sorry if the episode is going to be a day late, but hopefully it's worth the wait.
You'll know only when you download it anyway. So
yeah, exactly. So on that note, that's it, geeks. See you in 2 weeks. Take care.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth. Or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio. And Antoine at ElTonioBerg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.